Sisters charity bicycle race from Shining Time Station to Cloggyville to Lucy's Leap and back to Shining Time Station.
Wow, that's pretty long for a bicycle race.
Lucy, are you sure you want to sponsor us?
Yeah, what if we don't win?
Oh, just do your best and have fun, because the important thing is the race is for charity.
Stacy's right. The whole idea is to raise money for the new playground.
Yeah, but it sure would be fun to win.
Hey, yeah. Dudes, what's the news? I'm here looking for Dan, my winning bicycle man.
Mr. Winslow, could you try that in English?
I think what Mr. Winslow is trying to say is he sponsored Dan the same way I sponsored you two.
That's the tune, Stace. That's the whole riff. Here comes my main man now.
Hey guys, what do you think?
Wow, cool bike, Dan.
Oh, it's aces, Dan, aces.
Attention, everyone. He's here and he's real. The wizard of wheels, the leading speed, the master of going faster. I present to you on his gleaming, scheming machine, the one and only human.
Flash.
The human. Flash?
Take a good look, losers, because this is the most you'll ever see of me.
Oh, Schemy, that's some bike and some outfit. Are you planning on entering the race, too?
He is the race, Miss Jones. He's the fastest thing since sliced bread.
I'm going to put Dan here up against Schemy anytime. I'll bet you seven... No. Make it 10 big ones that Dan wins.
Mr. Winslow.
No. Make it 15 big ones, and I say Schemy's going to win.
Make it 20 big ones.
All right, you got a deal, Winslow. 20 nickels says Schemy is going to win that race. Schemy, let's get out of here, huh? And start planning our victory celebration.
Oh, that schemer, he's got a thing or two to learn this time. I bet Schemy comes in dead last.
This is going to be great, Daddy. You know, that little squirt will be eating your dust for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
But Mr. Winslow...
And Schemer finally will be squealing for mercy. This is going to be beautiful, babe. Oh, beautiful. Well, it's been swell.
I thought this race was supposed to be fun.
Yeah, there's no way I'll be seen.
Well, hi, Mr. Conductor. Are you going in the race, too?
Of course. It's a rule of mine. Never miss a train, never miss a race, and never Mississippi.
Well, you can miss this one, Mr. Conductor. All the bikes in the world couldn't beat Schemy's.
Beat Schemy? But I thought the idea was to have fun for charity.
That's what we thought, too. But now it's turned into a big deal. And Mr. Winslow's going to lose his money because he bet I beat Schemy.
It sounds like you're already out of the race before you're even in it. What if Henry had done that?
You mean the big green engine?
That's the only Henry I know.
I'll bet Henry didn't have to race against little Schemy.
No, but it was something just as serious. Henry wasn't feeling well, and he couldn't even pull a freight train. He would never win a race in that condition. Come on, I'll tell you about it.
One morning, Henry was feeling very sorry for himself. Sometimes he could pull trains, but sometimes he felt he had no strength at all. I suffer dreadfully and no one cares. Rubbish, Henry, snorted James. You don't work hard enough. Sir Topham Hatt spoke to him, too.
What's wrong with you, Henry? You have had lots of new parts and new paint, too, but they've done you no good. If we can't make you better, we must get another engine instead of you to do the work.
This made Henry, his driver, and fireman very sad. Sir Topham Hatt was waiting when Henry came to the platform. He had taken off his hat and coat and put on overalls. Henry managed to start, but his fireman was not satisfied.
Henry is a bad steamer, he said to Sir Topham Hatt. I build up his fire, but it doesn't give enough heat.
Henry tried very hard, but it was no good. He didn't have enough steam and came to a stop outside Edwards Station. dear, thought Henry. I shall have to go away. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All he could do was to go slowly onto a siding, and Edward took charge of the train. Sir Topham Hatt and the fireman went on discussing Henry's troubles.
What do you think is wrong, fireman?
Asked Sir Topham Hatt. Excuse me, sir, he answered, but the fact is the coal is wrong. We've had a poor lot lately, and today it's worse. The other engines can manage. They have big fireboxes. Henry's is small and can't make the heat. With Welsh coal, he'd be a different engine.
It's expensive, said Sir Topham Hatt, but Henry must have a fair chance. Jane shall go and fetch some.
When the Welsh coal came, Henry's driver and fire lighted.
Now we'll show them, Henry, old fellow.
They carefully made his fire, putting large lumps of coal like a wall round the outside. Then the glowing middle part was covered with smaller lumps.
You're spoiling my fire, complained Henry.
Wait and see, said the fireman. We'll have a roaring fire just when we want it. The fireman was right. When Henry reached the platform, the water was boiling nicely, and he had to let off steam.
How are you, Henry?
Beep, beep, beep. I feel fine.
Have you a good fire, driver?
Never better, sir, and plenty of steam.
No record-breaking, warned Sir Topham Hatt. Don't push him too hard.
Henry won't need pushing, sir. I'll have to hold him back. Lovely day. He had never felt so well in his life. He wanted to go fast, but his driver wouldn't let him.
Steady, old fellow, he would say. There's plenty of time.
They arrived early at the station. Thomas puffed in.
Where have you been, lazy bones? Asked Henry. Oh, I can't wait for dawdling tank engines like you. Goodbye.
Whoosh, said Thomas to the coaches. Have you ever seen anything like it? Both Annie and Clarabelle agreed that they never had. Henry didn't give up. With some help from his friends, he just got better. And so can you. I'll see you at the races.
Shucks, Dan. You know what? I guess that means you won't be in the race.
That means Mr. Winslow's already lost his bet.
Oh, well, I am real sorry about that, Dan, but those are the brakes.
You guys are better now.
Are you sure you're all right?
I'm okay.
Really? All right, Dan. If you need us, you know where you can find us.
Jacob?
Truly sorry, Dan. And really, I mean that.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Conductor, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in the race?
I can't go. I hurt my leg.
You hurt your leg, too?
Sure. See? I fell off my bike.
But that's how I hurt my leg.
Really? Hey, I have an idea. Maybe we should start a club. Call it the Sore Leg Club. The rules are this. You have to sit and feel sorry for yourself for missing a race.
Okay.
Member?
Member.
I know someone else who could be a member of the Sore Leg Club.
Who's that?
Henry, from the island of Sodor. He'd make a great member.
Why?
Why? You mean you didn't hear? Henry hurt more than his leg. Let me tell you what happened.
One winter evening, Henry's driver said, "We'll be out early tomorrow. We've got to take the Flying Kipper. Don't tell Gordon, but I think if we pull the Kipper nicely, Sir Topham Hatt will let us pull the Express. The special coal they gave you is working well." "Hooray!" cried Henry. "That will be lovely." All kinds of ships use the harbor at the big station by the sea. There are passenger ships, cargo ships, and fishing boats also come here. They unload their fish on the quay. Some of it goes to shops in the town, and the rest in a special train to other places far away. This is the train the railwaymen call the Flying Kipper. Henry was ready at 5 o'clock. There was snow and frost. Men hustled and shouted, loading up the crates of fish. The last door banged, the guard showed his green lamp, and the Flying Kipper ready to go. "Come on, come on, don't be silly," puffed Henry to the freight cars. The cars shuddered and groaned. Trickety truck, all right, all right." "That's better," puffed Henry. Clouds of smoke and steam poured from his funnel into the cold air, and the fire's light shone brightly. "Hurry, hurry, hurry," panted Henry. They were going well. The light grew better. Signal lights shone green as they passed. Then, the yellow signal appeared ahead. His driver prepared to stop, but the home signal was down. "All clear, Henry. Away we go." They couldn't know the switches from the main line to a siding were frozen, and the home signal should have been set at danger, but snow had forced it down. A freight train was waiting in the siding to let the Flying Kipper pass, and the driver and fireman were drinking cocoa in the caboose. "The Kipper is due," said the conductor. "Who cares?" said the fireman. "This is good cocoa." The driver got up. "Come on, fireman, back to our engine." They got out just in time. Henry's driver and fireman had jumped clear before the crash, but Henry lay dazed and surprised. Sir Topham Hatt came to see him.
"The signal was down, sir," said Henry.
"Cheer up, Henry. It wasn't your fault. Ice and snow caused the accident. I'm sending you to Crewe, a fine place for sick engines. They'll give you a new shape and a larger firebox. You'll feel a different engine, and you won't need special coal anymore. Won't that be nice?"
"Yes, sir," said Henry, doubtfully.
Henry liked being at Crewe, but was glad to come home. A crowd of people waited to see him arrive in his new shape. He looked so splendid and strong that they gave him 3 cheers.
"Beep, beep,"
he whistled.
"Thank you very much."
I'm sorry to say that a lot of little children are often late for school because they wait to see Henry go by. They often see him pulling the express. He does it so well that Gordon is jealous. But that's another story.
I have another idea. When they hold the race next time, let's hurt our legs again.
Why would we do that?
Because we're having such a good time feeling sorry for ourselves.
But wait a minute. I don't want to miss the next race, too.
It sounds like you're not feeling sorry for yourself anymore. And that means you're out of the sore leg club.
Yeah, because it does.
The only thing to do is to forget the club and try something else. We can start all over, and I know just the place.
Where's that?
Where else do you start? By going down the anything tunnel.
Troubles like a pig in mud. You can stay home when no one can see you. You figure everybody knows your life's a dud. How embarrassing it is just to be you. That's not the way smart folks say. That's not the way, my friend. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. You can bury your feelings like a dog with a bone. You can hang your head in sorrow, and you suffer in silence when you're all alone. 'Cause you can't face your friends tomorrow. That's not the way the smart folks say. That's not the way, my friend. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over. Sad and lonely like a stubborn old mule. You can win, but you won't even try it. So you better believe that you're nobody's fool. Dream your dream and let no one deny it. Yes, that's the way smart folks say. This is the way my friend. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Got to start all over again.
It's like the song says, Dan. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start the race over again.
The race. You forgot about the race. Bushes are in the way. I can't see.
Dan, hold up your hand. Higher. There. Much better. Thank you. Well, let's see. Here they come around the bend. It's Kara, Becky, and Little Skeamy. Little Skeamy trailing a length behind Becky. Now it's Kara and Becky. Little Skeamy pulling up on the inside. And here they come. Kara leading. Little Skeamy pulling up, riding high. It's Kara falling back now. It's Little Skeamy, Kara, and Becky. And Little Skeamy wins by a curl.
He won.
I'm afraid so, Dan. Hi, Dan. Gee, I heard about your accident. Are you all right?
Oh, I'm okay. Yes.
You guess?
Well, you were so excited about me winning. And I didn't even get into the race. Now you lost your money. I'm sorry.
Dan, it's just a race. Now, look, I don't want this to get around, but you know how many motorcycle races I've been in? Hundreds. You know how many I've won?
Many.
One. That was the first one. Of course, that was a long time ago. And, I missed a few races like you two, but I keep going back. You see, Dan, as long as you don't ever give up, every time you try, you'll be a winner. And I have a feeling I'll see you out there in the next race.
Oh, you two, you did great. I am so proud of you.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Except the one thing.
His tires never slash. He will never crash, and he has made me some cash. Here he is, the human Flash. Flash, 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 Flash.
No eyebrows. Please, no eyebrows.
Okay, Barton, I believe it is time to pay up.
Okay, Schemer, here you are, 20 nickels.
Now, Barton, just let me say this. I enjoyed making a wager as two intelligent, mature grown-ups.
Yeah! We won! We won!
What was that?
I was wondering the same
thing. It's a lug wrench.
It certainly is, and I bet that this lug wrench will fit Dan's bike.
Uh-oh. You said to do anything to win.
Hey, when I said anything, I did not mean anything.
And that means you're disqualified, Schemy. And I get my nickels back.
That's not fair.
Fair, Schemy? Not only did you break Dan's bike, but you could have caused Dan to have a serious accident. Now, is that fair?
No.
Well, I think you owe someone an apology.
But I won the race.
Hey, won the race? I lost a pile of nickels, and more importantly than that, I lost the pride of the Schemer name.
I'm really sorry now.
You'll be a lot more sorry when I get you home, take away your bike, and straighten out this curl. Now, come on.
Wait a second. If Schemer didn't win the race, didn't that mean Kara won?
It sure does.
It does?
No question about it, Kara. You won, and as the winner, I would like you to have this money for the new playground.
But you bet this money on Dan, not me.
Yeah, well, I think I just remember something, Kara. You see, the race was about a playground, not about who won or lost.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get so caught up about winning that we forget it's important to just do our best.
Will Kara give her best?
Yeah, three cheers for Kara.
Hooray! Oh, hi, Mr. Conductor. What's up?
Oh, just helping you polish your bike. Come to think of it, why are you polishing your bike? The race was days ago.
Yeah. I want to keep it good and ready for the next race.
That sounds like a shining idea.
Thomas and Bertie and Percy and Gordon and James and everyone at Shining Time Station are here all summer long on Nick Jr. So you can climb aboard again tomorrow.
To a Shining Time Station where dreams can come true, waiting there for you. So much to see, so far to travel. So much to learn to know. Friends by your side, hopes to hold on to. Who knows how far you'll go.